This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We got a text message. Headed to New Orleans this weekend. Boy, this crawfish talk has everybody hungry, I think. Headed to New Orleans this weekend. Any recommendations to go grub? The best meal and the most cost-effective meal that we had when we were in New Orleans was Mother's. The night we went to Mother's was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
And it's kind of an iconic place there.
Very.
What I was most pleased about with New Orleans is, you know, and I've always had a good, obviously, you always have a good time when you go to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Except for when they, you know, I had an incident once, but whatever. Statute of limitations.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't as expensive. When you think about going to a touristy type place, even the Uber rides and everything was way more affordable. And the food that they ate, we almost got duped into going to a really fancy steakhouse one night. but we stayed away from there.
Like Clint. And that was funny. That was very funny.
Mother's was probably my favorite meal, and that was really as I recall,
$27 was everything, and that was with them for mine, and that was with me drinking multiple beers, a huge po' boy, and I had an appetizer to go with it.
Yeah, and I wasn't drinking that night, so mine was like $12 or something for something that I felt very satisfied afterwards. Plus, they slapped down a huge loaf of bread at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I get so impressed with bread. Like, oh, wow, look at this. Ooh, what's this? Whoa. Bread?
No,
wow.
But there is something. It's the same bread they use for the po' boys there, and it's excellent.
That's what it is. It is good bread.
It's
yeah.
good bread.
And then you sop up your etouffee with it and everything.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Speaking of Louisiana. Mother's. Go to Mother's. That's the one recommendation we'll give you. Speaking of Louisiana, Derek Stingley Jr., Louisiana's own, and now he's ours here in Houston. 3 years, $90 million, signed the extension earlier this week, had his press conference yesterday. This was fun. C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a new swarmy teammate of Derek Stingley Jr. What do you think of your new teammate, safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he going to bring a whole nother, like Kamari, like craziness. Like, C.J. going to bring that, too. And I think he'll gel well with the rest of us, and we're just going to go out there and have fun.
The fact that he mentions Kamari in the answer tells me that Kamari Lassiter might be a lunatic.
Yeah, well, I mean, just his celebration is him slapping himself in the face repeatedly. Yeah, hitting his head, right?
Yeah.
But looking like almost like somebody who's trying to quell the demons, you know?
Yes.
He's not trying to do it for flair or anything. He's like, no, I will not listen to you. No, I love her. I will not. I can't kill her. Which is the right kind of psycho.
Oh, yeah. The kind of psycho who likes to whack themselves in the head, yes.
When Derek Stingley brought that up, just talking about how C.J. Gardner-Johnson seems to be a little bit on the lunatic fringe, the mm-hmm. same way Kamari Lassiter is.
Yeah.
I thought a Full Metal Jacket when Matthew Modine says the Marine Corps they don't want robots. They want people that are out there on the edge a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that D'Amico's that same way. He's D'Amico's brand of discipline, or in terms of his standards for what he wants from his players, is obviously and clearly on defense. He doesn't want a bunch of guys who toe the line all the time. He wants them flirting with the limits of how violent is too violent.
Yeah.
You know, he'd rather dial back the psychopath than try to encourage it.
Yes.
Which is a classic thing. A lot of high school football coaches can relate to this. Mm-hmm. The worst is when you get some kid who's super gifted, but he just doesn't have a mean streak, not an aggressive bone in his body. You can't teach that. You can't go back and give that kid the screwed up childhood that would have given him all of that. So you want guys that what was Ted's old statement?
If they don't bite his puppies, they won't bite his dogs.
Yeah. So it seems a little bit like C.J. Gardner-Johnson is that guy.
I think it's ironic that the two guys that they paid in the last 3 days on defense, the Texans, Derek Stingley Jr., monster extension, and then if you missed it, last night, Danielle Hunter agreed to a one-year $35.6 million extension, nearly all of it guaranteed for both guys. Both guys got nearly fully guaranteed extensions for big, big money. I think it's funny, just coincidentally, that when I'm going, as you're talking about that dynamic, Seth, of all these psychopaths they have on defense, I'm going through my head, like through the depth chart, and I think of the guys that are truly the important guys on the defense in terms of, you know, Azeez Al-Shaair at linebacker, Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter, you know, on the edge, and then the secondary is just full of guys. Kamari Lassiter, Kalen Bullock, Jalen Petrie, Jimmy Ward, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Derek Stingley Jr. Man, I get excited just rattling off those six names. The two guys that they paid are probably the two guys who are like the most silent killers of all of them. The other ones are all psychos, you know what I mean?
Right.
But like I don't know that Stingley has an outwardly psycho bone in his body, and I think Danielle Hunter is very understated and both incredibly, you know, violent, swarmy football players, but personality-wise, they're the outliers.
Yeah, no, Danielle Hunter could be the guy that gets annoyed because people are asking him all the time if he's a pro football player when he's actually an accountant or something, you know?
Yes.
He's got a Clark Kent, a little bit of a Clark Kent thing going on.
Yeah.
If you saw Danielle Hunter in a suit and with big glasses, you might be like, well, that's a pleasant fellow or something, and then all of a sudden you put the football uniform on. It's a different scenario. And that's where in the stark difference between the way the offense operates and the way the defense operates is so fascinating to me. And I think I'm guessing D'Amico hopes this is year that it starts to change a little bit, is that the one common thread and the common variable in the guys that have worked out on defense is, I think, they are football junkies. They are very much guys, no matter what their personality is, whether they're Kamari Lassiter or Danielle Hunter, they're guys who are super serious and passionate about football itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this extends to any aspect of life. I remember talking to Lance Loken about this from Loken Realty.
Yeah.
He's a really interesting guy. He and his wife are really, the way they built that company is really interesting. But he talks about, they put a lot of resources into hiring. Like they interview a boatload of people before they hire somebody. Mm-hmm. Because after you do that, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's a lot easier when you got the right kind of people in an organization. You don't have to have PowerPoint presentations about, you know, what it looks like to be a pro and everything. You just kind of go about your job. And when you surround yourself with a lot of people like that, you don't have to work real hard at establishing a culture. D'Amico said that when he was in San Francisco, somebody asked him about establishing the culture on the defense because they were a very violent, aggressive defense. And when he was the defensive coordinator in San Francisco, I'll paraphrase, he said something along the lines of, I don't really have to talk about it too much. There's a certain standard, and these guys are the kind of guys that want to live up to that standard, so we don't really talk about it much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have that on the defensive side of the ball. You just don't feel it on offense. They have a few guys that are like that, but by and large, I don't think about that offense the same way. Some of that's just the difference between offensive players and defensive players.
Maybe, yeah.
But I want the offensive version of what the defense has. It's going to be a more muted and less psychotic version, but I just want a little bit of that.
I agree. Here's Stingley yesterday on setting an example for the young guys in the secondary.
I mean, I think that they just see like just work. The work you put in is what you're going to get out of it. I never really cut corners when it comes to working out, or I don't know, like you work hard at something, and you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, what you put in is what you're going to get out. So, I mean, hopefully they can see that and they see it. So, I can't wait for them when it's daytime.
The overall theme of a lot of the answers that he gave to questions about how much does this mean to you or how special is it or all of that, he's Bill Parcells' dream guy of just do your job.
Singularly focused, yes.
He's not really, he's not trying to be a motivational speaker or anything else like that. He just wants to go out and do his job. He's got, I'm guessing his father is pretty heavily involved on the business side of things for him. Yep. So his father can help him with that. And you hire an agent, you go out and you hire one of the best agents out there in David Mulligetta, and he can just focus on playing football. That part of it, some guys you just want guys that just want to shut up and do their job. And Stingley's the embodiment of that.
How much better can the defense be, Derek Stingley Jr.?
Just like any year, once we start getting on the field together, we start learning how people communicate and all that. Once we get that down packed, I feel like we gonna be the standard. We are the standard, really. But I feel like it's just gonna add another level of we're here. This is our defense. This the way we play football. So I think it's gonna be good.
That's a D'Amico answer. Every year is a new year. The very beginning of that, every year is a new year.
I'm gonna do something that's gonna surprise you here, Sean.
Okay.
I'm gonna credit somebody who was a coach of D'Amico Ryan's in his first couple seasons in the NFL.
Oh, boy.
And he was, for a few weeks, one of my coaches, one of my least favorite coaches of all time, Richard Smith.
Yeah.
I think he's with the Colts now, right?
I think so, yeah.
One of the big lessons that he really focused on, which was good, he would present it in a way that I had never really heard before, but he would always say, good defenses are loud defenses. And he was really, really big on communicating, and not just in practice. You got to communicate the same way you do in a game. That you can't just all of a sudden decide to be loud on game day. The linebackers got to let the defensive line know what they're doing. The defensive backs, the safeties got to alert the corners, and vice versa. All of that, and the communication is so big. Dom Capers used to say this all the time: more games are lost than won in the NFL. Because mental errors are such a big part of games. That's what drives me crazy sometimes watching the people breaking down film. They'll talk about, I can't believe this guy was playing this technique. No, I'm pretty sure somebody screwed up here. I don't know who it was, but somebody made a mental error, and this poor safety is trying to cover the cornerback's ass or somebody else, and that's why he's playing that technique. And the communication, stressing the communication is a really big part of being a good defense. And I'm guessing at times last year, given some of the glitches that they had on the back end, some of the huge plays that were a result of either mental errors or just, at times bad technique play by younger players, if they can clean that up, if they just clean that up alone, the communication in the secondary and some of the mental errors, and it was by young players, so it's going to happen. That's what would take them to be. They have the talent on the field right now to be a genuinely elite defense.
Yes.
Those big plays just killed them last year. If they can just clean that up and play like a more veteran team, then they'll be a genuinely elite defense.
I agree. Okay. You suggesting in the previous segment that you would make a good serial killer.
Yes.
Maybe not with the flair that you...
Right. I'm not saying I would be the most intriguing or engaging. Right. I might be the one that you never learn about because I would be very fastidious about the cleanup part of it.
Fastidious. Awesome.
I have a certain paranoia about me that I would leave no stone unturned.
Yep.
I'd be conscious of the fact that I got to get out quickly, but I would have a checklist. I would have a checklist that where I would be sure everything was cleaned up, and the final item on the checklist would be bring the checklist with you.
Yeah.
Yes. I wouldn't leave the checklist behind with
very
my
meta
prints all over
very
it. Yes.
Inception.
Yes.
Okay, so here's a text on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Compliment for you. Dude, Seth is on fire today. I've almost crashed my car twice. I could be a good serial killer, LOL.
That is my particular little brand of serial killing. I get people to drive off the road with my takes.
It's a very specific niche.
I've got 12 notches already this year.
And really, that's a victim problem more than it is a perpetrator problem. You know, like if they can't stop laughing enough to where they can stay on the road, that's an issue for them.
I'm kind of like Hannibal Lecter when he got that guy to swallow his own tongue.
Right.
You know, it's a power of persuasion.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Through laughter. Okay, this one almost made me laugh in the middle of while you were talking in this segment. Seth the serial killer, his first victim, the hag at the post office. They call him the postal pariah, and his calling card is leaving a postage stamp stuck to the victim's forehead.
Oh, that'd be a good one, too.
Yeah. Like the wet
bandits.
And I would
make really weird ones. Like, I'd grab a Susan B. Anthony.
Yes. Different stamps, depending on...
They'd be like, what does it mean? And here's the thing, Sean.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. That's
right.
The only random thing about my thing.
How you throw them off the scent.
Why Geronimo? Why is there a stamp of Geronimo on this postal inspector's head?
Can't figure this out. He used Neil Armstrong on an old woman and a young man. Oh, man.
Charles Lindbergh? Yeah. And the victim isn't even Jewish? What is his prerogative?
Oh, man.
We don't get it. Yeah.
I can't get inside this guy's brain. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I throw him off the trail.
Yeah. It's with the postage stamp, absolutely. The postal pariah.
To be clear, so for those of you who weren't listening, there was an old lady that I wronged at the post office.
She's a hag, according to this texter.
But I did it completely absentmindedly, and it was a pretty innocent mistake. But she would not accept my apology. She remained bitter and glaring as I profusely apologized to her. I jumped in line. There was no line, but I jumped in the succession because I thought she was already taken care of. But she would not accept my apology. I feel in this regard, I wouldn't do it just at post offices. I would do it in any kind of retail establishment where there are irrational customers that harass the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, I'd kind of be like Dexter the serial killer.
Yes.
Did you ever watch Dexter?
I have not watched Dexter, but I know the gist of it. Yeah, someone suggested on the text page you would be Dexter.
Yeah, I would have a purpose behind it. Yeah. I would take my homicidal tendencies and at least funnel them towards something good.
Yes. like irate people at checkout lines in various commercial establishments.
It would hold up in court. They love vigilantes in court. I'd be like, but I'm a vigilante.
Right,
like, yeah,
right.
That's kind of the problem, sir. Like, okay. No, I mean, I didn't do it.
That's what I meant. Not guilty. I meant not guilty. Payne and Pendergast with you. Seth, I don't know if you saw the news yesterday, but we are getting back a series on Netflix that was a favorite of Payne and Pendergast.
Ooh,
season
really?
Two. Oh. Season two of a series that you and I were very fond of.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
All right, we'll tell you what
it
is.
I'm not going to say anything.
We'll tell you what it is. We've got audio from the trailer coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
And y'all sending in these places to go eat in New Orleans is killing me right now. I'm so hungry. Napoleon House for muffaladas. Cocktails, turkey and the wolf for stoner sandwiches. And then people said Parentons, 15-minute drive, owned by a husband and wife who converted their garage into a restaurant. Shrimp po' boys, roast beef po' boy. Amazing. Keep sending them in. I'll be back in New Orleans at some point, I'm sure, and I can take advantage of all these. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Big day today. First day of the tournament. You can tune into our sister station, 650, is going to be carrying some of the games on there. We are carrying games at nighttime here on the station. A lot of Texas flavor these first couple days, including the Cougs at 1 p.m. today. Tip off for the Cougs. So be on the lookout. Be watching that. I'm sure a lot of you have the Cougs going deep in your bracket. I went with no number one seeds in the Final Four. I went a little contrarian. When you don't watch a lot during the year, there's two mentalities. One is go with the one seeds and you feel like you're going to hang around for a while. Or you go, you know what, I'm not putting any one seeds in there, and I might be the last one standing because everybody's so scared to go away from chalk. Now, I do have 3 2 seeds and a 3 seed. I've got, it is an SEC party that they invited Rick Pitino and St. John's to, my Final Four. I've got Tennessee, Alabama, Ole Miss. That sounds like it could be a Final Four for football. And then St. John's, who I don't even know if they have a football team. But I've got St. John's winning it all. It's really kind of crazy when you look at the brackets. Man, it's so much more. If you're a casual, you almost get more excited about the coaching matchups than you do the actual players. Like, you know, the fact that it's Calipari and Bill Self going at it in the first round. You look at some of these, and the coaches are front and center so much anyways now in college basketball, especially because they're so crusty and curmudgeonly about the environment that's been created by NIL and everything else. So so that's my final four. But I actually posed this question a little bit earlier. Is there a more bulletproof sporting event right now than the NCAA tournament, the men's basketball tournament, as compared to the popularity that it carries during the regular season? Like, the Super Bowl is the most bulletproof popular event that there is, but their regular season is super popular as well. So we've gotten some text messages about this. Seth brought up gymnastics in the Olympics as one of the examples of that, where you just, it's off the grid all year long, but everybody watches it in the Olympics. It's the highest rated thing. It's super popular, and its popularity is not going anywhere. That's kind of how I feel about March Madness. Everybody's filling out the bracket. No, by and large, most of you that have filled out brackets, I've still got a couple more that I need to fill out, but by and large, most of you that have filled out brackets probably didn't watch much college basketball during the year. But you're going to be dialed in come 11 o'clock this morning or whatever it is. And by the way, the guys will be out at Twin Peaks all day long today, 59 and Kirby. I just saw Reggie Atatula here. He's headed out that way. So when I say the guys, I mean like midday and the afternoon show are both going to be at Twin Peaks, 59 and Kirby, watching all the games. So Reggie and John, 10 to 2. Clint and Ron, and I think, boy, I got to check the start time on that Arkansas-Kansas game. Is that going on while those guys are on the air? I mean, Ron Hughley, diehard Kansas guy.
Oh.
Clint Sterner, Arkansas legend. That game, no, it's on at 6:10 p.m. tonight. So those two will be all wired coming off the air. Boy, are they going to stay out there and watch it together? I might go there just to watch the two of them watch the game with each other tonight. Arkansas,
this is
going to
sound like a dumb question right off the bat. But remember, I was impressed. I was impressed with the surliness of Ron Hughley, some of the flashes I saw of him off the air in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Who wins in a fight between Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley?
I think probably Clint. Clint, this is not to throw shade or anything, but Clint has been getting after it with his workouts.
He's looking pretty fit.
He's going to win the cardio battle. I think Ron.
I feel like Ron will have a trick up his sleeve.
You think?
Or something. Ron will get full license to fight dirty because he's at a disadvantage, I think, athletically and everything.
Yeah.
And maybe conditioning wise. But that's not a shade at Ron. It's just Clint's in really good shape.
He's in really good shape right now.
He's a really good football player and everything. Yeah, but I think Ron might have some secret skills.
Or a foreign
They don't
object.
Involve riding a bike, but still in the with pugilism. I don't know. I feel like he might surprise you.
Oh, brass knucks. Odds that Ron Hughley would pack brass knucks somewhere on his person.
Yeah,
I would say -150. I think it's the favorite. He's got brass knucks on him for sure. Okay, well, let's hope it comes to that. Let's go to Twin Peaks today. Buy them shots all day long. Get both of them gassed up so that if anything happens in that game that causes any sort of conflict or vitriol, we get a fist fight out of our afternoon show, The Drive, with Sterner and Hughley.
Though, you remember that the weapon I was going to get, the sap, the leather sap?
Yeah.
It's a leather sack.
Blackjack,
that
had, yeah.
Yeah, the blackjack. Yeah, it's a blackjack.
Blackjack.
I never ended up ordering it. Yeah. I know, it's just like, because I wanted to have it as a novelty, but I'm like, really? There's nothing I can do with it. I got to imagine if you get caught with one in your pocket or something, it's kind of a big deal.
You'd have to find some sort of gimmick on your YouTube channel, like to use it, you know, like the blackjack of the week or the play.
Yeah.
The violent hit of the week, and you're slapping a dummy with a blackjack or something like that.
Yeah, I guess it was part of it. I just wanted to see what it feels like to get, you know, like whack myself in the arm with it because it doesn't look like it could be all that menacing a weapon. Back in the day, a lot of the old cops and robbers movies and everything, they beat the snot out of some people with
or the just hit them one time in the back of the head with it and they get knocked out. You know,
that kind of thing.
All right, Seth, it is back. 2 years ago on Netflix, summer of 23, we had a new series pop up called
Quarterback.
They skipped it last year, and I think in large part because they had a hard time finding guys to do it. The first one was about The first one centered around Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and Marcus Mariota.
Marcus Mariota. I don't know if I want to play football or not.
Tapped out halfway through the series. So it basically followed their journey of the 2022 season to the end. And, of course, in the end, the Kansas City Chiefs end up winning the Super Bowl. So it was like six episodes. The last two or three were essentially like a highlight reel of the Chiefs, because it went chronologically, and the Vikings got knocked out, and the Falcons never made the playoffs, and Mariota got benched. It was still, I found it enjoyable and entertaining and informative, and it was really cool. Like, it was for me, for the average fan, I think anything that takes you places you can't go or never been behind the scenes is really, really cool.
No, right? I thought it was really cool, even as a, look, I played in the NFL, and I never got to see the side of some of the things you see with what a quarter, how a quarterback prepares and everything.
Yeah.
Especially, I thought the Kirk Cousins stuff was really cool, because you could see him actually wrestling with the thing that has been his problem since his father told him so in high school. That was one of the things you learned from, like, a letter that he was reading from his father in high school about how some of the handling of pressure and or not putting too much pressure on yourself, that side of things, you could directly correlate to, man, Kirk Cousins is a guy that it seems like in the prime time and in the big moments just kind of wilts in a way.
Yeah.
And yet would prepare like crazy.
Crazy.
And you could see how hard it is when people talk about quarterbacks struggling with the verbiage. Sometimes people think that's a loaded way to say a guy is dumb or something. No, like the quarterback, like Kirk Cousins had to sit there and practice the play calls because they're so ornate. Like actually getting the play call out is a big deal for a quarterback.
It was really interesting. And so they did that 2 years ago. Last year, they steered away from quarterbacks, maybe because they couldn't find any to do it. They went with receivers instead. I watched one episode of that. It was the George Kittle episode. And I'm like, nope, I'm out. This is basically, it was too happy-go-lucky. And, oh, Kittle, he's spending time. He brings his whole family in for the games. And his wife really supports him and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't want this. I want conflict. I want
Kittle is way too corny for me.
He's
at first you think like, oh, is he being ironically corny? Like, no, he's just corny. He would annoy the piss out of me.
Yeah, he's corny. And I probably should have kept going, because some of the other guys in it that were featured were Debo Samuel, who, as we know, he's got a kind of a volatile side to him. Devontae Adams flat out was saying he wanted to get out of Las Vegas on the show.
That's right.
Maybe I should have given it a chance. However, I'm guessing it wasn't as well received as quarterback.
Yeah.
Because we now get season two of quarterback. Here is part of the trailer. Now, know that the lead-in for this is Netflix going, 2 years ago we had season one of quarterback. Bum, bum, bum. Last year it was wide receiver. Bum, bum, bum. This year it's mascot. You're going to follow mascots around. Yeah. Yeah.
The key to success is relentless dedication.
Dream big, work hard, and never give up.
We're really trying to chase excellence every day.
Does it get heated? Yeah. It's a high-pressure situation.
Seriously?
All right.
Mascots? Okay.
Is this actually the plan?
You know they don't even talk, right?
We're only gone for one season.
You're not really doing that.
Ridiculous.
Can I make another suggestion? Why don't we just do another season of quarterback?
I'm in if you're in.
I'm in.
Did you really think quarterback was going anywhere?
All right, I should have said the three voices.
Don't tell me. I don't know who they are.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to guess.
Okay.
One of them was definitely Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow is in. Yes. Give him a ding, Ben. Yes, Joe Burrow. Yep.
I don't know who those other dorks were, but they were trying way too hard to sound like Joe Burrow.
Or that
somehow they were badasses or something. Who are those dorks?
I'll give you some hints. One of them is a quarterback alumnus. He was in the first season of it. We just talked about him.
Oh, Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins makes sense
that he sounded dorky.
Yes,
then. Okay.
Kirk Cousins is back. All right, so that's a ding. Is that a ding and a buzz at the same time? What the hell was that, Ben? Like a ding
that
with a
could
fart?
Be that could be really good this year with the potential drama for whether he plays at all and what is his role.
It's a recap of last season. So,
oh, it's a recap of last season.
Remember how that one went?
The first
one.
I thought they're going to be following him during this year, this coming season.
This drops in July of this year.
Oh, okay, that'll be really good.
So they followed Burrow around during a season where he was incredible. But his team was very mediocre. Really, if they won 10 games, he's the MVP. He might have been the MVP of the league. Kirk Cousins got benched after signing a $180 million contract. That's interesting. The third one. I'll give
sounded,
you
dorky.
Yep. He is.
But it's not going to be Daniel Jones.
It's not Daniel Jones. That would have been fun.
It sounded kind of monotone and dull.
Okay.
Just maybe kind of like the guy that like you'd be cool with your sister dating.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't want to hang out with him. You're like, I like him because he's boring, so I know he's not cheating on her.
Dancing right around.
Stuff.
Yeah, you're I feel like you're getting hot. You know that game? Hot and cold.
This sounds like a guy that doesn't know that the sun sets in the west. Jared Goff.
Yes. Jared Goff.
Which was something you learned the last time he was the subject of a documentary, because I think it was Hard Knocks when
they were
trying to explain to him that the sun rose in the east and set in the west.
Yeah. He's done well for somebody who didn't know that coming into the NFL.
I think there's a lot of people that might not know that.
Yeah.
I feel like we're a quarterback. There's a certain standard level of intelligence that, especially when you're playing on the West Coast.
Correct.
Yeah, you know, like maybe there'd be a little bit of critical thinking of like, oh yeah, people talk about the sunset over the ocean on the West. Yeah.
Real quick, because we're up against it, how do you feel about a Burrow Goff Cousins quarterback documentary?
I'm intrigued by Burrow. Yeah. Cousins was good, man. One of the other things that you saw in the first one was just how much physical abuse and punishment Kirk Cousins was taking. So, and there is a part of Kirk Cousins that I respect just because he's his own man. He owns his dorkiness in a way and isn't ashamed of it or anything.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, I buy my clothes at Target. What? That's not that that's dorky per se, but as far as just him not caring at all about trying to put on airs or anything, I do respect and admire that.
Yeah.
And he is very physically tough. So him getting benched in the middle of that season. Goff, I'll be excited about whether the Texans game is featured at all, in which he threw 5 interceptions, and yet the Texans somehow managed to lose that game.
That's a great point. Yeah, that's the only of those three, that's the only one the Texans played last year. So we may get a little Texans in there. All right, good. All right, I'm excited for it. We'll see. Drops in July. All right, final segment coming up. There was maybe the best thank you that I've seen from a player in the history of Twitter thank yous, and actually mentioned the two of us, Payne and Pendergast. We will divulge, we will dive into that in the final segment coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Final segment. I got sad reading this yesterday, man.
Oh, no.
Even though you and I both get mentioned by name here by our good friend John Weeks, former long snapper for the Texans. Yeah.
I thought it was an obituary or
something. No. It's, well, John Weeks. We've had a lot of people ask this question, like, hey, why did the Texans move on from John Weeks? I'm assuming, given the long snappers are generally getting the veteran minimum around the league. I don't think anybody's overpaying for long snappers. The Niners didn't overpay for Weeks. They gave him 1 year, up to $1.4 million. I'm assuming that meant that the Texans are looking to move in another direction. We've had a lot of people ask that question. Why did they move on from John Weeks?
My pet theory is that D'Amico, in firing his friend Bobby Slowick, decided to go just full Spartan on this.
Just keep firing.
Detach any sentimental ties I have to anything and anyone.
Yeah.
And it's nothing but vicious cold-heartedness. Henceforth. He actually used that word, which didn't seem to fit right. Yeah. But he said it, yeah.
It's why we haven't heard anything from Case Keenum over the last couple of months. You know, he's hiding from D'Amico. Yeah.
My other pet theory is that, fueled by the signing of former Alabama football player Cam Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
I think D'Amico is just going to get rid of anybody and everybody who didn't play for Alabama.
Yeah.
That's the tipping point at this point.
That's right.
He wants nothing but Nick Saban coached
dudes. We're going to find an Alabama long snapper. They've got a long snapper in the building now who's on a futures contract. Tucker Addington is his name. I don't know if he's going to be the long snapper. He's 27 years old. He's been on like 6 different teams. Like, he's bounced around quite a bit. Like, it's the opposite of Weeks.
It's a typical story with a lot of long snappers.
Yeah.
Though. A lot of them bounce around and then finally latch on somewhere. No, it's a great question. My only thought immediately was that on the coverage side of things on punts, that Frank Ross might want a guy who's younger and more athletic on punt coverage.
Yeah.
You know, your long snapper isn't typically making a whole lot of tackles, but he is part of the coverage unit. So it might be as simple as that. I can't remember any snaps or anything. Now, I guess the other side of it would be, I don't see that all of a sudden maybe Kyemi Fairbairn had issues last year because a long snapper he'd been working with forever all of a sudden took a turn or something, but there could be multiple different things. I lack the learned special teams eye to tell you that I saw anything that was waning in his skill set.
Yeah, same. So John Weeks put up a post on Twitter last night that is a lengthy post, but it's a thank you. It starts with, I'm not going to read the whole thing because we don't have enough time left in the show. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude and thanks for the past 15 years. He thanks the McNairs for the opportunity to live out his dream. He thanks his teammates, past and present, not by name, because the guy has played with literally probably 500 players over the last 15 years. Thanks the organization. Then goes on to thank by name all the people inside the building that we wouldn't know them from Adam if we saw them, but he thanks several guys in the equipment room, and I know Seth is a former player. You probably know better than I do the importance of those equipment room guys.
Yeah,
they are super important.
Well, and especially for a long snapper, because the equipment guys are also responsible for scuffing up the balls and doing all that stuff with the specialists that John probably had an extra working relationship above and beyond what the normal player does.
Thanks the nutrition staff. This is where I got impressed. Is he thanked the cafeteria staff by name? And there's got to be 15 names here, 20 names of people. And it's, all just first names, not first and last, but all, that's where I'm like, okay, he is going deep on this. Thank you. This is really, really cool. Thanks to the football technology staff. Thanks the trainers. And then thanks the communication staff, Omar and company, all of them. And then he goes on to thank the media. Can't forget the media. And Seth, I was very happy amongst the 15 or so names that he had in there. Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne. We thank you too, John Weeks, for your 15 seasons of service to the Houston Texans.
Yeah, it was really, it's kind of very a unique cool. little wrinkle in Houston sports history that a team and a fan base was able to form a relationship with a long snapper. And it's not because he had a crazy, wacky, he's not some wacky New Zealander or something that it was beloved for his personality. He just showed up and did his job for a long time through multiple administrations.
He's not like the long snapper that you and I interviewed at the Super Bowl from the Patriots, Lonnie Paxton. That guy seems like he has kind of a big personality.
That guy's a character.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a character. Yeah. John Weeks just went and did his job, man. You can see why he stuck around for 15 years with the Texans and why a team would want him even at age 39. Would want him on their team in the San Francisco 49ers. So, yeah, that was cool. That was fun to read last night. Except that he's leaving. That part sucks.
The Sports Radio 610 guys, he named Sean and myself, Landry for most of he's only known Landry for the vast majority of the time as a Sports 610.
Yep.
John Lopez, Clint Sterner, Figgy, and that's it.
Yeah.
No Ron Hughley.
Did Hughley take aim at John Weeks that we know of? Did he have hot long snapping
Ron,
takes?
Well, you got to remember, Ron got hired during COVID.
Yeah.
And so Ron didn't really – Ron there's been a sharp divide in terms of maybe how much time players spend with the media since COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So Ron never really had a chance to develop a relationship with John Weeks.
Yeah, yep. Mentions a few TV guys in here, mentions a lot of the Texans media staff, past and present. But yeah, that was cool, man. That was I'll miss John Weeks. We thank you, Weeksy, for your service to the Houston Texans and wish you well. Wish you well in San Francisco, except for the one time that the Texans play the Niners this year. They play at NRG Stadium this year. In that game, I hope you worm burn a few low snaps back to the holder or shoot some over the punter's head. If you would do that would be great.
You know what I haven't really done? I remember when the 49ers came to have a combined practice with the Texans, back when DeMeco was a first-year coach with the 49ers. I remember being impressed with how physically fit the 49ers coaching staff was.
Yeah.
Because at the time, Bill O'Brien, his band of on the offensive side of the ball, a bunch of flunkies that he brought with him from college.
Those were slobs.
Right, look, Romeo Crennel, we love him partly because he doesn't have a very fit physique. It made him very lovable. But the 49ers, it was D'Amico, it was Robert Saleh, it was a bunch of guys like that, super fit. I can't really put a finger on the Texans coaching staff. I don't think they're as physically as impressive as the 49ers coaches.
That was an impressive staff with San Francisco.
We got to get there. We got to get up to speed in that regard.
Yeah. Nick Cayley. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Trying to think. There isn't anybody that sticks out in my mind that's like ridiculously out of shape.
No, they don't look ridiculously out of shape. I think they look more like guys that are like your classic football coaches, though. Yeah. They're more they're grinding film too much to put together the perfect physique. And I'll take that as a strength, damn it.
Text page, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. As you and I were handicapping a fight, Seth, in the previous segment that has yet to take place but might later tonight between Ron the Show Hughley and Clint Sterner. They're two schools that they... I'll say with Ron that they root for. I don't think Ron went to Kansas, but he's a huge KU fan, and Clint obviously went to Arkansas. Those are their two teams. They play each other tonight at 6:10 p.m. Takes on who would win a fight. Clint strong, but Ron will throw sand in your eyes. Oh, that would be a good tactic. Yeah.
No, I think Ron would come in with a plan, I give him full license to fight dirty. I think he's at a disadvantage, so he's allowed to do anything and everything, whatever it takes, to try to win this fight, and I think he's got it in him.
Yeah. There's a texter that says, forget about Clint. Who wins a fight between Mama Sterner and Sho? I think I might take Mama Sterner. She's scarier than Sho.
I'll tell you one sports radio host who's terrified of Mama Sterner, and that's one Sean T. Pendergast.
Yes.
Whatever happened, we used to have her call in and leave a message for you once every few months, threatening you.
I didn't.
What happened with that? Why'd we stop? Did you put an end to that?
No. What? No, I didn't put an end to it, but I was glad it stopped. I wasn't scared. I wasn't having bad dreams at night every 2 months or whatever it was.
Come over there and whoop that ass.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Man.
I can't remember what started that. Did you say something about Clint?
I think I must have. She started with her hot takes on social media during the baseball playoffs. Whatever year the Red Sox were playing the Astros in the postseason, it might have been 21. And then somehow, I found myself in the crosshairs, and I must have said something. I'm glad she wasn't. I hope she wasn't listening yesterday when you and I were dissecting Clint's take on the pessimism that he's had around the offensive line.
Yeah, I think sometimes what I've realized is that when we go at it with the afternoon show, what ends up usually happening is that we agree more than we realized at the beginning.
Yeah.
Even, you know, Tyler did a good job as a producer of making Clint think that I was really ripping into him about not cleaning the frying pan. And then when Clint listened to the audio, he was like, oh, okay, well, I guess. Yeah, he's got a complaint, but and I can see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
So it ended up being, so it was a good job by Tyler building it up.
Yeah.
But Clint, to his credit, cleaned the hell out of that frying pan eventually.
Yeah. It took like four tries. but he did it eventually, yes. The fellas are out of Twin Peaks, in the loop. Out there from 10 to 2 today, and then from 2 to 6, the aforementioned drive with Sterner and Hughley. We've got the fellas from In the Loop right now, Reggie Atatula, John Lopez. Gentlemen, it is a great day to be an American right now.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it's a great day, absolutely, and we are out here. By the way, you used the word slobs earlier, describing the Bill O'Brien coaching staff.
Yeah.
That's one of the best clean, dirty words there is.
Slob.
Slob is an incredibly bad insult.
It's really, it's funny. It's a funny. Well, we brought it up.
A slob. That's tough.
Well, a texter called Seth and I slobs because we were just laying out how much we like to eat certain things.
Yeah, like you told me I was a slob because I ate a bunch. And I'm like, I don't eat with like a trail of dirt behind me.
I'm
actually pretty tidy when I eat.
Yeah.
How you guys, your filter, bro. Slovenly too. Slovenly is a nice upgrade of that.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one too. So set the scene. You guys are at Twin Peaks. Are you guys the only ones in the building right now, or are they? When do they open?
No, they open at 11 a.m. Okay. Come on through, Kirby. We're on Kirby and 59, and they're setting up. They're getting everything ready. It's going to be a big day. You know the TV scene here.
Oh,
at
yeah.
Twin Peaks.
It's oh yeah.
Be terrific.
It's going to be great. You guys got your brackets all filled out and everything?
All done. I filled out the same bracket and entered it in five different competitions.
Okay.
Because I'm a man, and that's how you do it.
What about you?
Yeah, I feel like John is going to be very disappointed in me. I actually have two variations of my bracket.
Oh!
I typically am a one bracket guy, but one of them is a heart bracket. If you're looking at the Mokiram Injury Law Firm live stream, there we go. Got there eventually. I am wearing my Foss Lama Jamma shirt, so one of them is the heart of trying to get Houston to win it, but I had to go with my head on another one.
So the bracket you're kind of claiming is the one you went with your head, but then you have another one where you got U of H winning it all. Is that what
that's
I'm?
That's right.
Okay,
that's right.
I got you.
You have adequately and accurately
framed
the situation.
What you're doing. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm only moderately disappointed. You picked the Cougs, makes it a little less I don't know, soft? I think you're soft if you fill out multiple brackets, all right?
Oh, just any, like, there's no, like, a multiplier if you're doing, like, five or six. Just two of them is too far.
No. You fill out five or six, it's because you're in five or six different contests. It's not, you don't fill out multiple brackets for the same contest. No.
I have two in two different, three contests.
Okay, that's a little better. Okay.
Yeah, I fill out the same bracket and put the same bracket in all five different.
So do I. It gets hard to keep track of.
Yeah. Exactly.
You don't know what you're rooting for in any particular game.
Yeah. And then you factor in that I'm going to gamble on all these games? Oh.
I don't need that aggravation.
Guys, I haven't recovered. It's been like over 2 hours now, and my pride is wounded. Because I realize, man, I am a wimp. I've got 3 1-seeds and a 2-seed in the final.
No.
So do I. That's what in the final four, I've got 3 1-seeds and a 2.
Yeah.
Is St. John's your 2-seed?
Michigan State is my 2-seed.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was listening earlier. I know you got St. John's in it. It seems like, Sean, you actually are going for the upset bracket.
3 2s and a 3, baby. If there's any sort of upsets, I'm winning all these pools that I'm in. Yes. All right, gentlemen, so enjoy it out there today. This is one of the great days, and you're in one of the great spots, Twin Peaks, 59 and Kirby. So we're looking forward to listening, and I may pop over there at some point. So
okay, come enjoy the eats, drinks, and scenic views.
For sure. All right, Seth, antibodies to you. Enjoy the hoops.
Antibodies to you, and I know since you're the one that went to a Bible college, tomorrow our project is to discuss which of the seven deadly sins we're most guilty of.
Okay.
Today we admitted to gluttony, so we'll excuse gluttony from it. I just admitted to pride, I'm trying to find one that I'm not super guilty of right now. Look forward to tomorrow. It's going to be a cleansing 4 hours of nothing but whipping ourselves with a whip over our seven deadly sins.
Self-loathing and ridding ourselves of the seven deadly sins, yeah.
I've largely aged out of lust, so I think I'm clear on lust.
You just don't have the energy for it.
Not because I'm any morally better, I just, yeah.
Yeah, I don't got the time nor the energy for the lust. Bring me some chicken wings so I can sloth my way through the day, all right, and gluttonize myself. All right, we're done. We're out of time. The fellas are out of Twin Peaks on 59 and Kirby, not just in the loop, but the drive later on today. So if you're looking for a place to go watch the games, that is the place to be. You're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.